Have you got your reservation in already? You want a crown and a robe and a crown reserved in heaven. Everybody ought to make sure that their reservation is in and ready and that you're operating on the principle that I'm going to get there. And thank God that He is able to deliver us there. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from Acts chapter 10, verses number 37 and verses number 38. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 37 and verse 38, "The word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." God was with him. This morning, for a few moments, we're going to talk about Jesus is still good. He not only was good back then, but He is still good today. God is good today. God is always good. He always has been good, and He's still good today. So let us take a moment and go to God in prayer right now. O Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, it is with great joy and in faith and in prayer we come before the footstool of Thy throne. We thank You, O Lord, that You have blessed us and lengthened out our lives to give us another opportunity that we may stand in the portals of that mighty building here, O Lord, in that mighty church, O Lord. Thank You for blessing us to have a portion of this day that we may come together to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Thank You, and I pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who are here, and we pray that those who may still be on their way, that they may get here safe and secure. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for those who might be sick this morning, that they may have a speedy recovery and be able to return with us once again. We pray for those families that are grieving this morning. We pray that You would give them strength to carry on. For Your word is our guidance into You, O Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. Father, we pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families. We pray that they continue to lead us down the right path. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for those who have taken part in the services thus far and for those who shall come from this point on. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all You do for us. We pray, O Heavenly Father, and ask You to bless each and every member in this congregation this morning, that You may be with them and give them the blessings that You see fit and that they deserve from You, O Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for everything You do for us. And it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, who went to yonder's cross, that we continue to pray and ask all these blessings. Let us all say, Amen. This morning, Jesus is still good. When we read the Bible, we find many words and deeds that Jesus said and or did while here on this earth. According to John 21, around verse number 25, it was said that books should not be able, that the world itself could not hold all the books that should be written. He entered this world in order that He might save others. He sacrificed Himself that we might have a Savior and given us salvation, making salvation available to us. No, Jesus no longer walks this earth, but He is still good for us, through us, and to us. His goodness is still coming through for us today. And yet far too many fail to recognize or accept Him as our Savior. To the many who don't believe that Jesus is still good to us today, they think just because Jesus is no longer walking this earth and that He went back to heaven, He doesn't do for us like He did for the people of the biblical days. Well, guess what? Those of us who believe are the people of the Bible. Those of us who believe today are the people of the Bible, just in a different time. We study our Bibles and we look for God, look to God for His Word and what He asked us to do. And so we continue to be blessed by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we think about the Jesus that I know in the Bible, there are some things that come to mind. I think about Jesus, how that He came to this earth, how that He suffered and He died, how that He lives on today, and how that He gives us forgiveness of our trespasses when we believe and trust in Him. Now, we discussed in the Bible class for a few moments this morning some things that I found pretty interesting. I found that we need to continue to be in study in God's Word so that we'll know what God expects of us. And we'll know that God is a good God. And even though He's not on earth, He's still a good God. He still calls for us to follow Him. In Matthew chapter 4 and 19, the Bible states that He told these two brothers that He met, He said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Here we have two who were fishers by trade, but it doesn't make any difference what our status in life may be. Jesus may still be able to use us. They were now being called on by Jesus to become closer to Him by becoming fishers of men. The gospel calling is to teach men so that they might be saved. The only thing that was required of these two brothers were told to them by Jesus in His calling, and that was very simply, follow me. Notice verse number 20 of that same text. The Bible says, that's Matthew chapter 4, verse number 20, and the Bible says, they straightway left their nets and followed Him. There was no let me think about it first. No question was raised about, can I get back to you? They simply dropped their nets. They didn't say, can I go and talk to my family? They just dropped their nets and followed Him. Jesus is still calling us today to follow Him. When we accept His calling and become a child of God, I want you to watch what it says in John chapter 10 and verse number 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Some may follow Him less than completely, and some may not follow as close as they should today. But God is just as God loved Jesus, His Son, so does Jesus love us. In John chapter 15, starting around verse number 9, He said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. God loves His Son as the mediator. He loved Him enough to give Him all things into His hands. Then He loved the world enough to give Him as a sacrifice for all of us. So I asked the question this morning, why won't you accept His calling today? Why won't you follow Him? He is still good. God, Jesus is still making good in all the things that He does for us. He still calms troubled waters. We live today under so much stress that it's no wonder that so many of us are falling into states of depression and anguish. Often many of us find ourselves tempted. We find ourselves under faults and failures. Some think the only way out of troubled waters is to lie, to cheat, and steal. We try to handle too much all alone. We try to work things out by ourselves. We try to think that nobody can help me but me when I get into my troubled waters. When you're in troubled waters, you need Jesus. You see, I'm reminded of Jesus who calmed the troubled waters over in Matthew chapter 8 around verse number 24 through verse number 27. It's a very familiar event where, according to the Bible, it was a storm that began to brew up. And it was not just any storm, but it was a great storm according to what the Bible says. It was just not any storm that the disciples could see themselves getting through. And let me just tell you something about Jesus. If the storm is too great for you, then it's easy for Jesus. If the storm is too big for you to handle, then you need to consider Jesus this morning. All I'm saying to you is that you need Jesus when your waters become troubled. Jesus could have ordered this storm not to start in the first place. But he wouldn't have been able to let the disciples see the glory that God had given him and the power that God had given him. If he brings us to a storm, it's been said, he can bring us through that same storm. When troubles come up in our lives, even troubles sometimes come up in the church. Would you agree with me this morning? Trouble comes to the church and trouble comes to our homes. Sometimes when you wake up in the morning and you look over and you look at your spouse and you get mad simply because that spouse is there beside you. That's no way to live, but that's the way some people are this morning. That's troubled waters. Your waters are becoming troubled. And we need to learn to lean on God more that our troubled waters can be calmed. And sometimes you get mad at your kids simply because they are being kids. Isn't that right, church? And then, that's not to say anything about the troubles on the outside of your household. You can't walk down the street anymore and be at peace. Folk can't afraid to sit in their own yards today and be in peace. Folks are afraid today to just step out on the porch. You see an arm come around the front door reaching in the mailbox because they're afraid to go outside to stand there and go in the mailbox. Oh, I tell you, we live in troublesome times today. We live in troubled waters, but Jesus can handle it. But I found that when I read that story all over again, and I know you've heard it many times before in Matthew chapter 8 around about verse number 24, the Bible says that in verse number 24, Jesus was asleep. Even Jesus took a rest. And sometimes we have to learn to give ourselves a rest. Sometimes we need to take a few moments and think about things and go over things in our mind. But then in verse number 25, I remember the Bible saying that the disciples decided, let's go wake up Jesus. Let's wake him up. They awaken him and ask him to save them. But I tell you something about Jesus this morning, church. Even when Jesus was asleep, he knows more about us than we do when we ourselves are awake. How do you know, preacher? Well, note in verse number 26, when he awakened out, the first thing that he asked him, he said, why are you fearful, ye of little faith? In other words, where is your faith? In other words, don't you understand that I'm Jesus and I control these troubled waters? I can stop this storm with just a word or two, and when your life is troubled and the waters become result in upsetting you, don't let it upset you. Just go to God. So then, he got up, and he spoke to the waves and the storm, and he ordered the wind and the sea to cease and desist. He ordered everything to stop the way it was blowing the wind. If your life is out of control and you are a child of God, oh, you got God on your side if you are a child of God. You don't need to fear. Let none believers fear. But you who are children of God, you simply need but call upon His name. By faith, we can call upon the power to put a stop to the... Jesus called upon the power that He has in Him to stop this great storm. You can call upon Him too. If you don't have faith, but you must have faith. If you don't have faith, didn't the Bible tell you that without faith, it's impossible to please God? Then it tells us in Romans chapter, that's Hebrews 11 and 6. Then it tells us in Romans 1:17 that the just shall live by faith. Faith without works is dead, according to James chapter 2 and the verses number 20. Don't you know that we must come to the Lord asking in faith for our request? Oh, I tell you something. The Bible has a story about if you've got faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can move mountains and trees, and you can do all things if you just have a little faith with the help of the Lord. God is still good. So he didn't leave us without any help on this earth. Even though he doesn't walk around here anymore, he didn't leave us helpless. So I ask you this morning, when it comes to serving the Master, can you trust in him enough to call upon him? Or do you consider yourself bigger and better without him? And some folk do. Jesus still offers us hope. And you know, when everything around us begins to crumble and fall apart, we must have hope. And that hope is not enough unless you have hope in the promises of Jesus. Do you remember reading in John chapter 14, around verses number 1, 2, and 3, where the Bible... Turn over with me, if you will, to John chapter 14. I better visit there. John chapter 14. And look at verse number 1. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Isn't that a wonderful promise, church? Oh yes, God is still good. He left this earth and went to prepare a place for us. And I'm so glad that He prepared a place for us, because the kind of place that Jesus prepares for us, I know is going to be a good place. I know that if He has His hand in it, it's going to be all right. I know that if He puts His stamp on it, it's going to be all right. And I tell you, when I think about that, sometimes I remember over in John, the 14th chapter, also starting around verse number 12. I want you to see something for a moment here. In John 14, in verse number 12, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do ye, he do also. And the greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, will I do that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Now Jesus is showing His oneness with God there. He's showing His disciples who He was giving them a pep talk about leaving them, and they knew they were afraid at this time that without Jesus, they were not going to be able to continue on. But I'm telling you something this morning. He was letting them to know that the world, that they would still have power to get through whatever they may need. Jesus still has the power of heaven behind Him. And He can give us what we may be in need of when we may need it. But you know something? Don't get that confused. He doesn't necessarily give you what you want when you want it, but He gives it when He decides it's time for you to have it. So when you ask God for something and He doesn't answer your prayer, don't stop asking. Ask again and again. It may not be that He is saying no. He may be simply saying, "What, church? Wait for a little while." I know that some of us are anxious to get everything we want right away. But it doesn't work like that. You know, when it comes to asking God for things, you can take the watch off your arm and the clock off the wall and just toss it to the side, because God doesn't work on that time. He doesn't work on our time. He works on His time. So then, when we begin to understand and to know that our walk in this life on this earth, when it's time to prepare for our own departure, we need to remember what He said so that we may continue in hope. And when I go back there to John 14 and verse number 1, where He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled, because He's going to prepare this place for us. Jesus gives us hope for our departure. And make no mistake about it, there will be a departure in your life, for your life, and of your life. So when you think about it, church, just how good is Jesus really to us? Well, I calculated in my own mind just how good Jesus is to me. I didn't reach this age that I'm at right now not trusting in the Lord some way or somewhere or somehow. You didn't reach your age without trusting in the Lord some way and somehow. And you know what? When you trust in the Lord, you get a better understanding of life. I've told you the story over and over how that at one time in my life, I didn't trust in nobody. I'm proud to say that I got enough time in my life to get back with the Lord. He gave me enough time to come back after I had left the church. And you know what? After I left the church, I started thinking about it. And I said I did all right with the Lord. So why did I leave the church in the first place? And then my youngest son decided to ask that question one day. He asked his mother, he said, why do I have to go to church and he doesn't have to go? And I began to think about it a little more. And I said to myself, he's right about it. I need to be there with him. And I need to go with them. See, my other two kids were already grown and had went off to school or had went off on their own. And so the youngest one was the only one that was left. And I thank God that I was allowed to make it back into the church of Christ. Oh yes, I know you know that the church is the right church. But are you doing the church right? Are you doing Jesus right? See, you didn't have to get up this morning. Oh, you think it was an automatic thing, don't you, that I'm going to get, when I get up in the morning, I'm going to have ham and eggs and grits and toast and all of that. But you didn't have any kind of guarantee when you laid down last night that you were going to get back up this morning. But you got up because Jesus is still good to us. You see, when you were in the kitchen, as the old saying goes, rattling those pots and pans, you didn't know how it was going to work out on last night. Would I be able to get into that kitchen? Would I be able to have my breakfast? And you know something? I hope you thank God this morning for waking you up. Not only waking you up, but for keeping a roof over your head. And then putting that food on your table. You know, you think that Jewel made the bacon you ate, don't you? No, he didn't. God provides for us, does he not, church? My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I know that that's right because every time you go there and you want some bacon off the shelf, and I'm speaking of beef bacon, I know there's a difference in it. When you want some bacon, you ask for a cow. And a cow provides you with that beef bacon. But that cow was not yours. That cow belongs to the Lord. He owns them on 1,000 hills. The God I know is good still. He was good back in the biblical days of time. He was good enough that Satan could not cause him to be seduced and tempted. He was good enough that death and the grave could not hold him. He was good enough to heal the sick, and he was good enough to save the world. And oh yes, he's still good enough to give unto us today everything that we need. Doesn't it make sense that he is good enough for us to give our hearts to? I think he does. Jesus did not go to any Ivy League college or school, yet his knowledge is out of this world because he is still good. Jesus was not trained as a chef. Yet he fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Now you make that many sandwiches if you can, and I defy you to tell me that you made fed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. I know that Jesus is all right with me. I hope that he's all right with you. Have you ever tried to think of this world, what it would be like if it were not for His goodness? Imagine if you would, if He did not allow the sun to rise up anymore. Imagine if you did not provide food, clothing, and shelter for us. Imagine if the rain no longer fell from the sky. Most of all, how could we be assured of getting into our heavenly home without Him? I thank God this morning that we don't have to imagine these things, because God is real, church. And He is still good. All the time and all the time, God is all right. He's still good. And I tell you something, church, when I think about the ways of the Lord, I think about really how good He really is. And I began to think some things in my own mind. I say to myself, He's the best doctor that I've ever met in my life. He's in the hospital halls whenever you call upon Him. If you believe and you trust in Him, you have faith, you can call Him to your sick bed and He'll answer you. And I tell you something, church, He's the best lawyer that I've ever heard of in my life. And you don't have to give Him a retainer to retain Him. He's on permanent retainer if you trust and believe and have faith in Him. And I tell you, church, God is all right and He's still good this morning. And I bet if you had to, you have a testimony that you can make of how good God really is and how good God still is. You may not want to stand up and testify, but you ought to testify to yourself that God is good. You ought to testify and let somebody know that God is good. God is still all right. And I tell you, just as I bring this to a close, I know my time is ebbing pretty fast now, but that's all right. You got a few minutes. I don't know if a ball game comes on today or not, but I'm not watching football anyhow, so you'd be right here with me if I stay here. But I tell you something, church. Now, when it comes to serving the Lord, you've got to accept one thing and one thing only. That you can't beat God. No way and no how can you beat God. You can't outgive Him. You can't outthink Him. You can't outwork Him. You can't outpower Him. God is just good all the time. And all the time God is good. He is still good. Now when you look at the whole picture, the big picture, I'm here because God allowed me to be here. You're here because God allowed you to be here. You're not here because you're so pretty. You're not here because you are so good. It's just that God is good and He allowed you to be here. And when I dress up in the morning, I think to myself, God, You gave me these clothes. It's not that I've been out there shopping and made these clothes. God provided the material to make these clothes. And if I don't look good to You, I still look good to me. And if I look good to me, then I ought to let the Lord know I want to look good to Him too. And no matter whether I'm in jeans or whether I'm in a suit, I still ought to say praise the Lord. I still ought to be able to say, Lord, You have been so good to me. And when you look at the matter, the bigger picture of even the net, you say to yourself and you say to God, Lord, bless me this day that I may make it through this day. You know, you don't have to make it through this day because you started this day. We're halfway through this day right now. But you don't have to make the other half, you know. You can make it to halfway point, and then you can say, well, I guess I made it. No, you've halfway made it. And if you want to get the other half, you ought to thank God for that first half. Now, God is still good. And I'm going to close this off now. I know my time is far spent now. But I just have to let you know something, because I don't know if God will allow me to stand before you again, so I have to say it while I can and while I feel it, and while it's fresh in my mind, because sometimes things slip my mind. You may not want to admit it, but they slip yours too. But sometimes things slip your mind. I know that sometimes when you go to a certain portion of your house, you ask yourself, why did I come over here? And then you say, well, maybe I'll go back and start all over again, and then I can remember why I came here in the first place. I came here to get me a drink of water, so let me get this water, but while I'm here, let me get a snack too. So God is still good to us, church. God is very good to us. And there are some folk who think that there are some better things than God. But they just don't know. They just don't know how good God really is. And I tell you something. Sometimes, and I'm not going to brag or anything, but I have to put it this way because this is the only way I know how to put it right now. There were days when I didn't even have a dollar in my pocket. I'm going to tell you something, something that happened to me a long time ago. I didn't have enough car fare to get home from work one day. And so I lived on the west side. Brother Miles, you know where that's at. I lived on the west side. I lived over around where Maypole is at, Brother Miles. And I was so embarrassed, I didn't want to borrow money, so I walked from downtown to the west side. Oh, it took me a couple of hours. But all I should have done, I should have had enough sense to ask God to provide for me, and somebody may have walked up to me and gave me what they called back then a transfer. But I walked home because I didn't know the Lord like I know Him now. I was in need then. And wherever I could get a ride from, that would have become my salvation for the moment. If somebody had drove up and said, do you need a ride, mister? Mister would have jumped in the car most likely because he got tired on that long walk home. But I tell you, it's God is still all right with me. Soon after that, I began to come to the acceptance and the realization that I needed to get back to where I used to be. And once I came back to where I used to be, I never was without car fare again. Not that I got a lot of money, that's far from the truth, but I have enough money that I can go out there and get on a bus or a train anytime I want to. And I don't have a senior pass either. And then, God has blessed me with many things, and I'm sure He has blessed you with many things over the years. But do you sit down and take inventory of just how good God is? When you take inventory, you'll do some things like I used to do. I sat down one day and I counted up all the automobiles that God has given me. And I'm not going to reveal the number to you, but it was too many that I decided I ought to quit counting. I didn't get those because I had a job. I got those because God gave me a job. God is good. And I'm gonna stop now because I could just keep on. But I tell you one more thing before I sit down, before I take my seat. You ought to know how to approach God. And when you approach God in prayer, don't go to God telling God what to give you. Ask Him for what it is that you're asking for, what you need, or what you're requesting. You know, there are some folk who will stop you on the street, give me a quarter. And instead of saying, can you help me out? They tell you what to give them. You know what I'm talking about. But God is good this morning. God is still good. And if you want to be a part of God, be a part of Jesus Christ this morning. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Oh, it's a lovely day to be baptized. Brother Jackson will baptize you this morning. He doesn't mind. It's not too cold and it's not too hot. The water is just right because the water is mixed with the blood of Jesus Christ for the redemption of your sins. But if you have found yourself a short distance, a guilty distance from God's throne, and you've already been baptized, you need to come back. How do I come back, preacher? Well, you first of all, you ask, go to God and ask Him for forgiveness and for strength to prepare to come back. And then you stand before the church, ask the church to continue to help you pray that you may continue to grow stronger. And then you stop doing whatever it is that you're confessing for. Don't come up and confess and then go right back to doing what you were doing. And when you come up, like I always like to tell you, I give you a few instructions on when you come up. You don't have to tell the church what you're doing. You just have to let the church know that I need you to help me in my prayer life. I need you to go to the Lord for me. I need your help. So if this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 822.